Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:55 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is March 20th, first day of spring. Well, when we look at markets today, the Nasdaq was the majority of news flow was about Facebook, and it was the among the leading decliners on the Nasdaq today. But we can also see that it has pared its decline considerably, and its primary consistency characteristic over the course of the last 5 years has been that it bounces when it trades below the trend mean. That is what the vast majority of investors will be looking for, is some sort of confirmation that the share can bounce again from the region of the trend mean. And that is, of course, despite the fact that there are substantial forces being mounted against it, not least from disaffected politicians. But nonetheless, we can also begin to think about what about all those other politicians that are going to perhaps want to harness social media in the next election. So for everyone that is disaffected and thinking, oh, golly, you can't have this kind of personality profiling, there's going to be another that says, golly, this personality profiling is great news for my personal campaign. So that is, I think, the most compelling issue that is helping to support the price. And if it can find support in this area, then we can conclude that it's still in a reasonably consistent trend, and that the process of ranging over the course of the last 6 months has allowed the overbought condition relative to the trend mean to be unwound. As long as that remains the case, I don't think anyone's going to be particularly worried. But in the event that Facebook, for example, were to fail in the region of the trend mean and then move to new reaction lows, well, then we'd have to conclude that a top is in. So this is a rather critical juncture for the share. But against that, that news flow, I think it is worth highlighting that the best performer on the index today was Adobe. And Adobe is emblematic of this transition into subscription business models. They were the progenitor of the subscription model in the technology sector, and it continues to lead. And what the subscription model has done for the technology sector is to lift it out of being a cyclical sector and transformed it into having the same kind of reliable cash flows that one would expect from consumer staples or even utilities. So that is allowing these shares to trade at a higher multiple, because it is so much easier to model their cash flows as a result than these shares are, in Adobe's case, accelerating higher. But if we look at other subscription-based business models, Microsoft falls into that category, and yes, it pulled back over the course of the last while, but it's off its lows in here today, and it continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows. Amazon is obviously the one that perhaps springs to mind most readily, and the share was up $36 in here today and pushing back up towards this $1,600 area. I see the Sparklets truck going past my house occasionally. I saw an ad for it saying it's only $20 a month for water to be delivered to your door. I always thought that's what the tap was for, but apparently I was incorrect. What we can definitely see is that this subscription business model, where a consumer's annual or monthly or bi-monthly income is reduced to a set of cash flows for different companies, and the competition between companies for that cash flow is increasing. But the adoption of this subscription model has converted into accelerating chart patterns for a small minority of shares, but they share a high degree of commonality despite the fact that they all have rather different businesses. And I think that that is an important characteristic of this bull market. Well, let's have a look at what's going on in Europe. And the dollar was firmer in here today. So that has added some impetus to some of these European stock markets. $1.25 for the euro represents at least a near-term peak, and this continues to represent a reasonably consistent uptrend. But nonetheless, it has paused over the last 4 months or 3 months, and the region of 120 represents the upper side of the underlying range, and it could quite easily come back to test that area, not least because it would probably coincide with the trend mean when it eventually gets there. And something that I found particularly interesting is just how many people are bearish of the dollar. And when, for example, we look at the dollar versus the yen, then it has lost downward momentum. And yes, there is still this progression of lower rally highs, and the most recent of those was last week, and it was in the order of 107 and a quarter. So, with that being the case, if we've had a loss of downward momentum, and certainly when we look at the medium-term chart pattern, the dollar did break down from what was a relatively steady environment for the vast majority of 2017, then it's understandable why people are that bit more bearish about the dollar's prospects. But what we are certainly seeing from the US economy is that purchases, I think, are being front-loaded, that people are taking their savings from the tax cut and they're spending them. So that should contribute to better economic growth overall, and it would appear to be at the present moment at least outpacing the economic growth we're seeing in Europe or indeed in Japan. So when we look at the European markets, they tend to have an inverse correlation with the strength of the euro. The euro has been really very firm over most of this year so far, and European markets have underperformed. But the Euro stocks has steadied in here today. If the euro continues to decline, then it has a fighting chance of pushing back up above that trend mean, and it certainly does need to do that if we're going to consider that this is still a demand-dominated environment. And the Euro stocks is obviously the broad index, but the DAX is underperforming it, and it's also a total return index. So the fact that the DAX is underperforming the Euro stocks does suggest that it really does need to do better here and to really confirm support in the region of 12,000 and push back above that trend mean. If it can't do that, well, then again, we would have to conclude that this impressive advance up from the lows in 2016 is over. So we are at, I think, a rather important juncture in here for a number of these stock markets. Then, when we look at what's going on in China, it was interesting that there were two primary news stories that were coming out today. The first is that they were willing to countenance the possibility that they would no longer insist upon technology sharing from foreign companies. Well, there's only one way they'd agree to that, and that's probably because they don't need it any longer. And R&D spending in China is vaulting past everywhere else in the world, and their pace of lodging patents has also increased, so they may no longer need that technology sharing. But they certainly don't want to appear weak, and that was the other big piece of news, is that Xi Jinping gave this saber-rattling speech, basically telling Taiwan to forget about independence. Well, the A-share index has bounced, and it is now back testing the region of the trend mean, but it is not yet above it. And really, it does need to sustain and move back above 3,500 to really confirm that this is more than short-term steadying. When we look at what's going on in Hong Kong, the H-share index has bounced from the region of that 12,000, and so far it continues to hold this progression of high reaction lows that's been in evidence really since the beginning of 2016. As long as that remains the case, then I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, but it really does need to hold that progression of higher reaction lows. Then when we look at India, well, the Indian market continues to pause above this 10,000 level. It's a big psychological level, and we've had a fairly substantial pullback since the end of January. So we're coming back to an area which could represent an area of support. I think it is worth considering that India is a volatile market, and it is prone to occasional bouts of volatility, and it is prone to somewhat larger pullbacks, and we've seen ample evidence of that over the course of the last few years. The region of 10,000, which coincides with the trend mean, is a potential area of support, and we saw some steadying in here today, so that's positive, but it does have to do more to confirm that this area is going to hold. Well, now, when we think about it and look at all of those charts and think about all of them together, well, we're still in a corrective phase. And certainly, there has been a concentration into the high growth technology and also into the subscription business model. And the industrial shares that were doing well up to the peak in February have lost momentum. So, for example, Boeing is now going sideways and it is just rallying from the lower side of its range. The Dow Jones, as a result, has been underperforming. And it was able to recoup some of the decline that it put in yesterday, but certainly this was not a dynamic upward move in here today. Then the oil price was in positive territory in here today. It was up over a dollar. And now we're coming back up to test those peaks that we saw in February. Well, this is a higher reaction low now. There's certainly a confirmation of that. And there was a rather triangular pattern that had been developing, and now we're starting to see that that is being resolved on the upside. If we get upside follow through tomorrow, then that is almost certainly going to test that $70 area. Now, of course, we know that there's a lot of additional supply starts coming into play above $70. So it is going to require a transition, something to happen in order to drive it higher. Well, one of the things that is happening is that we're getting more tight supply coming into the market, and that's primarily light crude. And that contributes to the that means that there's more supply coming in for gasoline. But gasoline demand should also be picking up because of less demand for diesel. So, in fact, gasoline tends to have has tended at least to have a more consistent chart pattern than crude oil over the course of the last 2 years. It hasn't gone up as much, but it is grinding out this progression of higher reaction lows on a pretty consistent basis, and it just moved to a new recovery high. Well, as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to continued upside. So there is a potential bullish argument for oil based upon simple increasing demand for light crude at the expense of heavy crude, which is a reflection of the decline of diesel demand relative to gasoline demand. That's a factor both of transportation fuel for cars, but also for ships, because of tighter regulations on sulfur content for ships as well. So that is, I think, perhaps an argument for why oil prices should be somewhat higher, but of course we know that the higher they go, the greater the impetus will be to increase supply. So it is certainly a market that has increasing risk the higher the price goes. Then, because the dollar was a little bit firmer in here today, then gold was a little bit weaker, and it gave up yesterday's advance, and it's back down testing the lower side of this range, but it's off the lows in here today. Well, I had a rather interesting coffee with some veteran subscribers yesterday, and we were looking around the world, and certainly, if you were to think about what's the thing that represents value, something that has not rallied spectacularly, or and is currently in a corrective phase, well, one would have to think that it's either going to be the emerging markets, like Vietnam, that are breaking to new highs and are trading at lower valuations to either Europe or indeed to the US, or gold. Gold has been has held this progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2017. It's got a rounding characteristic, which is consistent with accumulation, and so far this range above the trend mean has unwound the overbought condition, and it is so far reasonably steady. And as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the potential for additional upside. Now, when we look at the bond markets, well, the 5-year treasury is testing the upper side of a short-term range, and it's up to 2.6894%. That's about 19 basis points shy of the yield on the 10-year. And that's not a significant pickup in yield for holding a bond for twice the length of time. 10-year yields are up to 2.88%. If we see the 5-year starting to break higher, well, then that is going to put a bit of a tailwind into yields for the 10-year. Now, we know that there's a lot more supply for on the 5-year part of the curve than there is for the 10-year. So there is the potential that 5-year yields will continue to rise faster. But there's been an awful lot of debate about the extent to which 10-year yields will push through 3%. And we know that there's a lot more supply coming. Well, we have the Fed interest rate hike tomorrow, and I think the market will be looking at, with very interested ears to find out exactly what does Jeremy Powell have to say. Well, he's probably going to try and say that this is a bullish tightening, and one would have to question how he possibly begin to say anything else. But the other point that's worth highlighting is that 3-month LIBOR is up to 2.22%, and the pace of the advance is picking up. It was rising in a very slow manner for the last few years because nobody really thought that interest rate hikes were going to persist, but they are persisting, and the Fed is holding to its commitment so far, at least, that they're going to raise rates at least 3 times this year. The number of people that are talking about the prospect of them wavering from their quarter points increases and moving perhaps to a half point increase, well, that would, I think, really start to put some panic into the bond market. And the pace of this advance is definitely picking up. So we have to at least continue to think that the potential for 10-year yields to break above 3% is, I think, the base case. And the only question is whether it is going to happen in the latter half of the year or the first half of the year. And, of course, if it's going to be in the first half of the year, that only leaves about 3 months. And I personally think that there is a good betting odds case that that is, in fact, going to be the case. Well, we are in a holding period for stock markets right now. And when we look at, for example, the S&P 500, it hit an important medium-term peak in January and pulled back very sharply in February. Now, it has continued to hold the progression of higher reaction lows, and it has had higher highs. And each one of those highs in February and in March has been a key reversal. So far, it has been steady around this 2700 level. But I continue to think that the most likely scenario is that we are going to have additional ranging, and that that could, in fact, or the potential for rising interest rates could, in fact, be a contributing factor in that overall ranging environment. Against that background, the Nasdaq had failed to sustain the move above 7,000. Now, it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but it has not pushed directly back up above 7,000. So there is the prospect here that this is a failed upside break, and what it holds out the prospect of is increased volatility. We haven't been talking a lot about the VIX index recently, but the VIX pushed up higher in a rather dramatic manner yesterday and then didn't hold the advance. But the much more important fact is that the area around 15 has held. It has not pushed back down towards 10. And that 15 area represents the region of the trend mean and the upper side of the range that persisted for most of 2017. And what it suggests is that we are back in a more volatile environment, that we can expect more moves that are in excess of 1%, both up and down. And that is likely to persist for a while longer. That if we go back and look at any of the other instances where the volatility index has moved above 30, then it has taken months, if not years, to get back down to depressed levels. And this is one of those instances, and it suggests that we will have more peak to trough swings, or at least over the next few months. That if the peak in January was a medium-term peak, then the chances are that we are going to be ranging for anything out from 6 to 18 months. And that's, I think, an important characteristic, because we've certainly had a rotation, and those subscription-oriented businesses are where a lot of the interest is focusing right now. But it's also in the high-growth technology shares, and most particularly in the semiconductors. And the SOX index, which is the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, it pushed on to new high ground. But unlike the Nasdaq, it has held the breakout, and it is now pushing back above that 1400 point level. So that's an important, I think, a differentiator, that if we are trying to identify what the leaders are in terms of what is leading up and out of this corrective phase, well, it is the subscription shares, and it is the semiconductors, and particularly the high growth technology companies. And I think that's a rather important point. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.